Similar, we may close our eyes and I will pray. Our Heavenly Lord, we are thankful this morning to have come in your holy presence, the few of us this morning, Lord, but grateful, O God, to worship your holy name, grateful, O God, to praise you, give you thanks, adoration, thankful, our Savior, that we will sit now and enjoy your word being preached to us. Precious Father, as you will be reminding us of great things that we should know from Scripture about you and giving us that joy and gladness and delight, O God. Precious Father, speak again this morning in the wonderful name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Honor your word in our hearts, that he may not come out and be preached, return unto thee void. In the name of Christ, we all say Amen. We may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I have to learn to cut these words out. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It reminds me of these charismatic Armenians. They like to say that. You may be seated in the presence. So I might sound like one of them sometimes. But hey, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hey, good morning. It's a great delight to come and to be preaching the word of God also to you this morning. What I want to do is to remind you of who Christ is. And I'm sure that all of us we will agree this morning, as we have, I think, the same kind of understanding as I will be preaching. So this will be really to you a kind of an iron sharpening an iron. It's not something new that I will be bringing today. And I heard my friend Mr. Russ praying and saying the Lord may bless us as we continue on this subject of soul winning. But what happened is there are two sermons that I was still supposed to preach on the subject of soul winning, but I decided to stop and begin a new series of study. What I want us to do is to do a new series of study on the seven I Am's declarations of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are found in the Gospel according to John. But what I will be doing this morning is not really to look at any of those seven I Am's. What I will be doing is to introduce Jesus as the great I Am. Not to introduce the I Am's, but to introduce Jesus as the great I Am. So that when we go through these few weeks to come, 7 weeks to come, that we may have the understanding of who is this Jesus? Why must we turn to him? As a reminder, why is it so important that we may honor him as we should honor the God of the Old Testament? So I want us to see that the Jesus of the New Testament is definitely the God of the Old Testament. And I will be looking today at two different texts, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. How can Jesus provide for us as God had provided for his people from the Old Testament, as he protected his people in the times of Moses and guided Moses as well? How can Jesus do the same thing for us as we continue to remind ourselves on this issue? How can he prosper us as he had prospered Israel in the past? How can he free us? Are we slaves of anything? How can he free us? Because we know that the Israelites were freed or liberated from Egypt by God, who the Bible calls him Yahweh, the great I Am, the creator of the heaven and the earth. So how can Jesus be that God? I won't be looking at many passages of scripture. This is going to be just a summary, but we will look at two, one from the Old Testament. We shall open together Exodus chapter 3, and I'll read from 18 to 15. Then we will read John chapter 8, where we shall read from verse 48 to 49. But first, Exodus 3, verse 13 to 15. Here's the word of God. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say then to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and that I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" May the good Lord bless the reading of his word. We shall read a little bit later on John chapter 8. But first, we will look at this Exodus chapter 3 from 13 to 15. As we are called to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the question that always remains is, who is this Jesus? How can he satisfy our lives? For we know that God, he satisfies the lives of the people in the past. How can Jesus now satisfy our own lives? He says, as he makes this declaration that we'll be looking at, he says in John 6 verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." He says in John 8 verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In John 10 verse 9, he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pastures." In John 10 verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He continues to say in chapter 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and I am life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall live." It reminds me of the question that Job posed in the midst of trouble. He posed a good question in Job 14, verse 14. He says, "If a man dies, will he live again?" I think that's a very good question that every person should ask. It's just unfortunate that people will ignore such a question. If I die, will I live again? Or is there life after this life? Am I living this life knowing that there is another life? Is there any connection from this life to the next life? Is there anything that I'm supposed to be this side of the tomb that will lead me to be from in the other side of the tomb? And Jesus Christ says, yes, there is life. I am resurrection and I am life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall live again. He makes these claims, and we want to find out why and how can Jesus, a man who, here in John chapter 6, people say, "We know his father, we know his mother. Is his father not Joseph the carpenter?" But he makes these claims. If we believe in him, though we shall die, yet shall live again. He continues to say in John 15 verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you shall do nothing." These are the claims that Jesus does. that Jesus makes. But in these claims, these declarations of I am, as I have gone through them reading from Scripture, what we see is that all these claims, they have this title, I am, at the beginning. It is not to say, Gina, it's not that. It is to say, maybe, Gina kimo diimo omu diimo. I don't even know what to say, because this is not my language. But I am God who is God, and there is no one else like me. The word I am is not really to say, Gina, like, you're asking a person a question, and then he says, I am that guy. Who's the driver of that car? I am. It is not that. This is a divine title of God. God says in Exodus chapter 3, where we just read, this is my name in which I shall be remembered by throughout all generations. So before we can be able to even understand and delight in our saving relationship with Jesus Christ, before we can even learn much on what Christ has for us, we need to deal with this title, I am. We need to see why is Jesus putting upon himself this name, I am. So this morning, what I'm aiming to do is that we may see for ourselves that there is none like the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot compare to anything or anyone who claims to be a God. He's the one that protects. He's the one that saves. He's the one that provides. We don't protect him. I remember some years ago, I think Togozo was 8. I don't know if you still remember, but we were watching a movie. One Chinese movie, you know those Chinese movies, there's always this statue of a Buddha in the movies. But towards the end, this main actor was fighting to protect this statue of a Buddha. And every time they will fight, the other guys, and they will throw something that will hit the statue, he will leave fighting and he will rather get hurt. But as long as he can pick up this Buddha and put it right and protect this Buddha. And throughout this whole movie, they were saying, that statue is God. And Togozo asked me a question and says, how can that be God if a man is protecting God? But you always say God is protecting us. Then you can see, brothers and sisters, that really there is no God in this world who is visible and sitting somewhere, some God that you will buy at a shop and put in your hands. That is ridiculous. My boss in his house is God. Some kind of an elephant. He's got a long nose, an elephant in his house. He called it God Shiva or something from the Hindu clan. But Jesus is kind of different from that, and he cannot be compared to that. Jesus claims and says he's using this name, I am, as God has used it in the Old Testament. And when we come to the Gospel of John, John tells us the reason he writes this gospel. If you read John chapter 20 verse 31, he says, I write this gospel so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is equal with God, that you may believe. That is why I'm writing. So his aim in writing is to reveal the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ will be quoted in this gospel, what he said through his own mouth, the testimony of the apostles, which is true testimony, saying, I am. Using the very divine title of God from the past, from the book of Exodus, the same name that God said, I shall be known by throughout all generations, which means even in this generation. That's how God will be known. That's how God will reveal himself to us as the I am. But now, we come. What I want to do before we go to see how Jesus puts this name upon himself, what I want us to do is to look at two points as my way, or my the way I would like to discuss this issue, I would like us to look at 2 points. But first we shall look at a true biblical background. But secondly, I want us to look at the way in which Jesus Christ himself used this name in relation to himself. Then later we shall see then, why should we delight? Why should we be happy and be glad that the Jesus which we sing hymns about, the Jesus which we pray to, why should we delight that he is the God of the Old Testament? So we shall look at the biblical background of this title, I Am, as we have read here in Exodus chapter 3, and we shall look at then the way Jesus Christ identified himself. Here in Exodus chapter 3, if we remember very well, what had happened is that Moses had ran to a far country, the country of Midian, after Moses had killed an Egyptian. But this happens because the Pharaoh, we are told that the Pharaoh who knew Joseph, in other words, the Pharaoh who loved the Israelites because of Joseph, had died. And a new Pharaoh came up. And this new Pharaoh began to mistreat the children of God. And then, consequently, all the Egyptians put it to their own hands to ill-treat the children of Israel. And what they did when they were treated bad, they prayed unto God. And the Bible tells us that God heard them. God heard their prayer. And God then called Moses to liberate his people. In the wilderness where Moses was looking after the flock of his father-in-law, then the Bible tells us that Moses saw a burning bush. And he was attracted to this burning bush. But it is not just the burning bush that attracted him. A voice was heard from the burning bush calling Moses by name. And the Bible tells us that it was God who called from that burning bush. And when God began to speak to Moses, he said to Moses, he had chosen Moses to go back to Pharaoh to liberate his people. So what you see here is that God is calling out a man who had just killed someone, but he's choosing this man to go and be a liberator for his people. And when we read, we realize that Moses also had some kind of disadvantage in his life, or as a person. He could not speak well. But God, what I'm trying to emphasize, still chose such a person like that. Then you can see that really God is the one, as my brother was saying, God is the one that chooses his people. He's the one that appoints his people for his work. He's the one that calls us from our sin and cleanses us from our sin. Even before we can make up our minds, God calls us. So our salvation, so to put, does not depend on our decisions that we make. It depends on the decision that God takes first, then calls us. And when he calls us, make sure that it is sitting well with us, so that we may be able to make then the decision to come to him. So our salvation does not depend on some decisions that we take, but it depends on what God chooses, as we shall see that also in the book of Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm saying so because I know some of my friends who believes that salvation is based on our decision, they do listen to my sermons on the internet. So I'm saying this not just for you only, so that people may begin to learn to look what the Bible says before we start talking. It is God who loved us first. John says, then we love him because he loved us first. It is God who works in us both to will and to do, so that we may call upon his name. So here, he chooses Moses, a sinner. He chooses Moses who has just killed somebody and he calls him to liberate his people from Egypt. So what we see is that this name that God is using here in Exodus 13, he says to Moses, "Go tell the people that I am has sent you." We see first that this name is a divine name. Number one, this name is a divine name. Remember, we're moving towards to see why and how can Jesus use this word. He says, "I am has sent you." So it's a divine name. It's the name of God who is divine. That's number one. Secondly, is the name of God, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. That is to tell us, is the name of the God who created the heavens and the earth. That's why God brings himself to them and says, the I am is the God of Abraham, as they know him as the God of Abraham, the Yahweh of the Old Testament, the Jehovah of the Old Testament. That is second. Number three, this name I am, as I have mentioned before, is the name of God that God will be known by throughout all generations. That is very important. It's a divine name of God, and is the very God who created heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and is the God who shall be known by his people throughout all generations. So this is the God who demands worship. This is the God who deserves worship. The God of the Old Testament, who says to Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh to free my people so that they do what? So that they worship me in the wilderness." This is the God who demands worship. This is the God who deserves worship. This is the God who gives salvation. As he says, he will free his people by using Moses. The same God then who liberated the people of the Old Testament is the same God today who says, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Is the God who's calling us to turn away from our sins. The God who's calling us to change our views. The God who's calling us to repent and come to him. The very same God who sent Moses is the very same God who sent us, as we were dealing with the subject of soul winning. The same God who says, if my people can humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn away from their evil ways, is the same God who says to us now, repent, turn away from your sins, come to me, and I will hear you from heaven. Because Jesus says, I am. Jesus is using the divine name of God. So that's the God we should seek. That's the God we should desire in our hearts. Let us look then now, how does Jesus identify himself as this I am? As I was saying, he does identify himself as the I am. How does he do this? I'm reading from verse 48 of chapter number 8, the Gospel according to John. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan, have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophet who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" It's the kind of the same question that Moses asked. If the people ask me, I shall say, who sent me? Now they ask Jesus, "Who do you think you are? What is your name?" Jesus answered them, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You have not known him, I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham
rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and he was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not even 30 years old, 50 years old, and yet you have seen Abraham. Jesus said to them, listen, truly, truly, I say to him, to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stone to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. I'm going to repeat what he said. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, here's the word, I am. He puts this word to make sure that it makes a distinction between the talking of I am and the divine name. Before Abraham was, I am. In other words, before Abraham was even born, I existed. Before Abraham was even formed in his mother's womb, I was there. In other words, I am the one who created Abraham. I'm the one who brought forth Abraham. But what is very remarkable for us to see, Bazalwane, is the fact that when he used this word to him, when he used this title, I am, they picked up stones. They did not pick up stones because he had looked down on Abraham. They pick up stones because they understood that he has just declared himself to be God. They understood that he has just called himself the great I am of the Old Testament. If you read John, you will see what they say, why they want to stone him. Verse 33, John chapter 10. The Jews answered, it is not for the good works that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy. And what is blasphemy? Because you, being a man, make yourself to be God. You, being a man, you have just made yourself to be God. So these people, Bazalwane, they have understood that Jesus Christ is saying he is God. So what was happening here for us to see this remarkable usage of this title? Remember, I said it's the name of God that will be known by throughout all generations. What is happening now here is that Jesus is standing in the synagogue 1,500 years plus minus. 1,500 years after the incident of the burning bush. 1,500 years since God said his name is I am. Here comes a man standing in the pulpit in the synagogues saying, before Abraham was, I am. The God that spoke to Moses is me. So they actually, before all this, they were arguing with him. One of those things these days people don't want to accept, that we are slaves of sin for as long as we are outside the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were arguing with him that they are not slaves because they say they are the children of Abraham. But Jesus says, as long as they are slaves of sin, as long as they don't have him in their lives, they are slaves of sin. But they were arguing with him. They were claiming that they actually love God the same way that Abraham loved God. They were claiming that they have the same faith to God as Abraham had faith to God. Remember, the Bible tells us that Abraham believed when God showed him the stars and said, look up to heaven, count and see if you can be able to count. And I will make your descendants as many as those stars. The Bible says Abraham looked and believed and rejoiced. And Jesus said, Abraham actually saw me that very same day. It was me who opened his heart to let him believe. But they say, you are not even 50 years old, but you claim you have seen Abraham. But Jesus is trying to move them to see that he's not just a man. He is the one that is able to provide. So they're arguing with him. But Jesus, in verse number 42, seems to reject their claims that, first, they are not slaves. Secondly, they are the children of Abraham. He rejects that. He says, if they don't love him, if they don't honor his ways, if they don't keep his commandments, they are the children of the devil, in verse number 44 as well. I will read from verse 42 to 44. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's will. So Jesus, Bazalwane, is calling people children of the devil just because they don't believe in him. But the question is, Bazalwane, why should these people who understand who God is, why should they love Jesus as they will love God? Why should we honor Jesus as we will honor God? Why should they believe in him? And if they don't believe in him, what then? What is going to happen? Which is why we look at this subject. Jesus says in verse number 41, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The question is, but why must we keep your word? We must have God. We can keep God's word. We have the Torah. We have the Old Testament at least. Why must we listen to your word? Which is what we see also today in the land of Palestine. The people are still keeping in the Old Testament. Why must we listen to your word? Who do you think you are? Then Jesus begins to say in verse 58, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." That's when Jesus brought this word. So that is why you should listen to me. I am greater than Abraham. I am the one who created Abraham. So, Bazalwane, here's my point here. Jesus is saying that he has seen God personally. Jesus is saying that he has not only seen God, he was with God personally. And the words that he has, the words that he speaks, if he says, "I am the bread of life," if he says, "I am resurrection, I am life," if he says, "I am the vine," if he says, "I am the door," "I am the shepherd," Jesus is claiming that these are very words that comes from God. So that's why people need to listen to Jesus. Not to say that people may not listen to the Old Testament, but Jesus is saying the very same words of the Old Testament are the very same words that comes out of my mouth. The very same God of the Old Testament is the very same God that is standing before you today. Jesus reveals himself in the midst of this chaos. What was happening? People were claiming some kind of religion. Jesus revealed himself. He says, "I am the one who shall free you from your sin. I am the one that you must delight on as Christians." As Christians, Jesus is the one now that we build upon, because we know that any other ground is sinking sand. As I come towards my end, my closure, the big question is then, why should we be glad that Jesus is the great I am of the Old Testament? Because I have tried to show you the great I am of the Old Testament, and I tried to show you Jesus claiming to be the great I am. But why must we be glad as the children of God? I think we all have a few answers on that. But what Jesus was aiming also at this point when he was preaching to these people, what he's also aiming today for us to achieve, first, is that the people should honor God. The people should honor God. Remember these people in John chapter 8. They were living their lives as if there is no God, but in their mouth they were claiming that there is God. These people were people who were not keeping to the very same commandments that they were claiming they are children of God on basis on. So you have people of religion who do things under the name of religion, but in doing that they were not honoring God, although they were thinking they were honoring God, as it is even today, but claiming they are the children of God. There are many religious people outside who does religious things in honor of God. And a few weeks ago, one of my colleagues showed me a picture on Twitter, from his Twitter, because I don't even know how to use Twitter. At least I can use Facebook. He's showing me a picture of Muslims, plus minus 100 of them, surrounding one guy and they're burning him. He was burned, and the picture showed that the man is burning. But the question is, why are they burning him? They were burning him under the name of religion. They're burning him in honor of God. They're saying, whoever does not want to submit in their religion, who does not want to tend to be a Muslim in that kind of area, is refusing the God of Scripture. So people are doing these crazy things. People are doing this violence in the name of God because of religion. But what Jesus came to do first, what we find in this name, as he's using it as I am, as he's putting upon himself, is that people may begin to honor God the way that people should honor God, the way of Scripture, by loving Jesus. He says, if you claim you love God, but you don't honor me, then you don't love God. So for us to say that we love God is for us to then love Jesus. The only way to honor God is to love Jesus. Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 29. Look what Jesus is saying in John chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. The question here, Bazalane, about you, they were asking, what works must we do? What must we do to please God? What must we do to honor God? And Jesus says, there is no other way you can do to honor God. You cannot be religious thinking you honor God. You cannot do things thinking you honor God. The only way to honor God is to believe in him, the one he has sent. So, my friends, what is it that you do thinking you are honoring God? And is what you do really honoring God? Because Jesus says, the only thing that we can do as people to show or to manifest our love to God is to do his commandments. We cannot claim we love him if we don't do his commandments. But above all, is to believe in him. That is what Jesus was trying to prove here. This is what Jesus was bringing out to these people. These people who were confused, not seeing the continuation of the Old Testament to the New, not seeing the continuation of the works of God from the Old Testament to the New, not seeing that God of the Old is the God of the New, and the God of the New is the God of the Old. Jesus, in other words, is standing in the middle of the Old Testament and the New Testament and opening his arms like that, bringing everything from this side to the other side and making it a one story. That's why the Bible is just one story. That starts from Genesis to Revelation. A story of God, not of man. The Bible is not written about us. Is the story of God who reveals himself to a sinful people, and how a sinful people who were so loved by God fell into sin, and God comes into their rescue. It's about God. It's about God's work continuing. It will end about God. Behold, I come quick. One of the verses towards the end of the Bible. Secondly, what we see in this name is that the name points us that there is life in Jesus Christ. The name points out that there is life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just life, Bazalwan. Eternal life. John chapter 8, where we just read, verse 51. Lalela kututi. Sinfundile. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will not see death. That is the promise you find in Jesus. If we keep his word, we shall not see death. The question then that we need to ask ourselves, do we keep his words? Are we honoring his words? Is his word our constitution in this life? Is his word what determines our character in this life? There is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let me read for you John 10, verse 28. Here's one important and beautiful scripture, Bazalane, that sums up everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, about our life in Christ, about our relationship with Christ, about our eternal life. John 10, verse 28. Look what John 10, 28 says. But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. The reason why the people did not believe is because they were not part of his flock.
But ngiyaqhubeka. That was 26. Ngifuna kufunda till 28, right? My sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So Jesus is saying, the people here in John chapter 10, they don't believe because they are not Jesus' flock. It is not because they are not believing, that is why they are not his flock. It doesn't work that way. It is not because they are not believing, then he declares them not to be his flock. No. They are not believing because they are not his flock. They have to be his flock, then they will believe. That's why he says, then my sheep knows my voice, and they know, I know them, and they follow me. But listen, go verse number 28, where I was just going. I give them eternal life. Brothers, if Jesus says eternal life, it means eternal life. Because he continues and says, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Then, Mr. Russ, you tell me, with your false gospel, how does people lose their salvation? If Jesus says, I give them eternal, I'm making an example with my friend, I don't know how to call other people's names. If people comes to me, they have eternal life, and no one shall snatch them from my hand. This is our delight, my brothers. Why we are glad that Jesus is the I Am of the Old Testament? Because when we come to Jesus and we are cleansed from our sins, we remain, we persevere, we are preserved by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you believe in Jesus, if you have been cleansed from your sin and your guilt is taken away, you do not lose your salvation. It does not mean that you will not sin. Christians do sin, but you don't fall in your sin and die in your sin and swim in your sin, enjoy your sin for the rest of your life. You come up, for the word of God speaks to you and raises you up day by day. That is the period of sanctification in our life, where Jesus Christ makes us holy by his word. That is why we need to be together for his word. That is why we need to read his word. But let me continue. What I was trying to bring out is that in this name there is life. And again, in verse number 52, we see that in this name there is assurance. The Jews said to him, now, we know that you are a demon. Abraham died, also did the prophets. But you say, if anyone keeps your word, he will not taste death. That is assurance, my friends. If we come to Christ, we have assurance that we will not taste death. Death is one of the most feared things in this world. But as Christians, we live with assurance that whatever happens to us, yes, we are fearful of death in a way. I'm also scared of death in a way that if somebody is to kill me and cut my head, I'll feel pain. I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel that. But I have assurance that when that is done, I have home in heaven. Here is my question. Do you have assurance? Are you sure that you will see eternal life? Are you sure that you will not taste death? Because if you think you will taste heaven while you will taste death, if you think you will enter into heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we find in his name assurance. Let me move on. What we also find in his name is a renewal of relationship. We see that in verse number 55, that the people, they did not know God. But since the coming of Jesus, a renewal of relationship with God. Jesus comes in our life that we may be united with God, that we may be reconciled, and a new relationship is formed, as God said in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, that he will make a new covenant, not the same covenant he did with the people of the past. But in Christ Jesus, we find a new life. In Christ Jesus, we find a new relationship with God as people who were lost. Praise God for the name of Jesus. If it was not for this name, I don't know where I would be sinking right now. This is the name of salvation. I am. This is the name of relationships. I am. This is the name of surety, assurance of eternal life. As God protected his people in the past, God is protecting us even today. Let me close by saying, my friends, as well, There's a very important question that we should answer. Do you believe that the Jesus of the New Testament is the God of Moses? Do you believe that the Jesus of the New Testament is the great I Am who reveals himself to Moses? This is a very important question. It's a question of life and death, Bazalwane. Because Jesus says in John 8:24, if you don't believe that I am who I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sin. If you don't believe that Jesus says he's the one that he says he is, you will indeed, that is surety, no guesswork, you will die in your sin. And guess what, Bazalwane? If we die in your sin, then you face the wrath of God. Do we believe that Jesus is the one? All that matters, Bazalwane, is whether we believe that Jesus is the one, whether we live as Jesus will command us, because he says, who keeps my ways? When all is said and done, when you breathe your last, all that matters, have you believed in Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ the master, the protector of your life? Is he the shepherd of your life? But what we see also in this name is that is the name of God who does not change. In Exodus 3, he said, I shall be known by this name forever. The New Testament says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're looking at the Jesus who does not change. How many times have you changed? How many times you have tried to mold your character to be good before people, be acceptable before men? How many times people have changed in your life? People that you trusted, that you thought they would never change, and they rejected you. But Jesus says, I will never change. That is the name I am. A God who does not change. So, Bazalwane, as God provided Israel in the wilderness with the manna, as he kept them alive for all those years, Jesus also says, I am the bread of life. As God was the light in the wilderness, as he was lighting for them through that pillar of fire, Jesus Christ also says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. God opened the doors for his children as they were marching to their new as they were marching to the land of promise, milk and honey. God opened doors. They defeated all their enemies. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. Whoever enters by me shall go in and out and have pastures. This is the God of the Old Testament. He gave his faithful servants life. He gave Moses life and wisdom. He says, I am the resurrection. I am life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall live again. He led them for 40 years, Bazalwane, in the wilderness. He says, now, I am the way, the truth, and I am life. Leading them in that pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. To us, he is the way, the truth, and he is life. He is the one that leads us to green pastures. He led them. Today he says, I am the shepherd. As he looked after them, as he protected them, as the shepherd protects his sheep, as he provided them with water, with food, manna from heaven, water from the rock, as the shepherd will do also to his own sheep. Jesus is carrying us, Bazalwane, as a shepherd will carry for a sheep. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays his life for the sheep. I am the vine. And you are the branches. And without me, you shall do nothing. As God promised his people that they will be productive, they will be fruitful. Today Jesus says also, if you abide in me and I in you, you shall produce much fruits. The Bible tells us, Bazalwane, that he came that we may have life and have it to the fullest. So that is the God of the Old Testament, revealing himself in the person of Christ, and we are benefiting on that. We have life in him. We have assurance in him. We have peace. We have protection. We have freedom from sin. So if we believe in him and keep his ways, we shall not taste death. Amen. Baba wokulunga uNkulunkulu oyingcwele. Siyabonga Jehova namanje ekuseni. Baba, as we were introducing Jesus Christ as the great I am, as we're looking forward to what you will feed us as Christ will do as part of our of his saving relationship with us. As he will say, I am the bread of life. As he will continue to declare himself as the I am for 7 times. Father Lord, bless us and bless us indeed. Keep it in our hearts, in our minds that Christ is the one we should seek. Christ is the one we should delight. Christ is the one we should desire. We pray all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say Amen.
For the benediction.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace forever and ever. Amen.